When you face a police officer, do you know anything about why they were hired and how they got into the position they're in to potentially take your freedom away? What's uppermost in their mind as they consider your case? Is loyalty to their superiors a bigger deal than the rule of law they're supposed to be enforcing?
So to fit in with those political appointments, you have to sort of toe the line. And if you're going to toe the line, you'll get appointed to one of those positions. And that's why you don't see things like an open hiring process, the knowledge, skills, and abilities for this particular job reduced to writing, and then we recruit from the strongest pool possible. We don't do that. We just hire from within. We hire our friends, and we hire those that we're comfortable with because we know that they'll toe the line.
That's retired police captain John Shane talking about the situation in the state of New Jersey. He used to work as a police captain in Newark and is now a professor at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. All this week, we're exploring the state of law enforcement across the U.S. And a new investigation by reporter and WNYC contributor Sally Herships has found that internal department fighting across New Jersey is costing that state's taxpayers millions of dollars. $29 million to be exact. That's the amount New Jersey residents paid between 2009 and 2012 to foot the bill for legal fees and settlements arising from employment battles and HR conflicts between officers, departments, and towns. And the root cause for a lot of these problems and lawsuits has to do with the hiring practices taking place inside police departments, hiring that is often based simply on loyalty.
The way that police officers are hired and promoted has a lot to do with the problems that come up later. So in New Jersey and in a lot of places around the country, police chiefs are appointed by politicians. So if you have a good police chief, you won't end up with any problems. But if you have someone who's a little bit more slippery, that chief is going to be inclined to stay loyal to the politician who appointed them. And that loyalty is going to trickle right down the forces. So the chief is going to bring in a captain who's going to be loyal to him. The captain's going to bring in a lieutenant. The lieutenant's going to bring in a major. The major a sergeant, and so on. And so that loyalty is going to, you know, just move up and down the ranks. And instead of fostering loyalty to your profession, you end up with people who are loyal to an organization.
Is that bad?
If you want good policing, it could be really problematic. If you think of a traditional profession like law or medicine, a lawyer can just go take a bar exam and move from place to place. But because of the way the hiring within the police department works, where you have all of this loyalty, you can't move. If you move jobs at, you know, the intermediate or lower ranks, you have to start all over and work your way up.
Give me a general idea of how the way in which people are hired makes them choose between a loyalty that would contribute to law enforcement and something that might be a little ancillary.
Sure. I think John Shane talks about how you're told how you're going to do your job. So if you're in an intermediate rank, you are going to be told, you know, who gets a summons and who doesn't, and which streets to enforce speeding rules on and which streets not to.
Well, you're told how you're going to do your job. You're going to be told who gets a summons and who doesn't. And you're going to be told where to carry out your work and where not to carry out your work. So if we have speeding problems on this street, but on this street you have several council members who might be speeding, you're not going to set up an enforcement operation on that street. You're going to go to another street where no one's likely to complain. So it doesn't really, it's not in the interest necessarily sometimes of public safety, but, you know, politically how the winds blow, that's how enforcement is going to be carried out.
So obviously you can end up with some really problematic policing, and problematic policing can in turn lead to lawsuits. One of the really surprising things that John Shane told me is that when you think about the profession of policing, you think of it as a really stressful job, right? There are car chases, chasing bad guys, guns, potential danger to your health and safety. And we often assume that that is the most stressful part of the job. But actually, the organizational stress, the being told how to do your job, the administrative squabbles and the little trivial fighting, John Shane says, is more stressful than all of those other problems. And that creates, all of that stress creates more problems with policing and can lead to these millions of dollars in lawsuits.
And the idea of autocratic policing you know, depending upon how a rule book is used, can bear directly on the morale within the department. And here's John Shane talking specifically about that in Newark.
When in the hands of an autocratic manager, that rule book can become oppressive, and I can use it any way I see fit because there's a rule for everything. And I know that I'm going to be supported on the inside by my bosses. So I just then open up the page and find you without your hat, your shoes aren't shined, you're out of uniform some way, you're 3 feet out of your sector, and I'll charge you for it. And so goes the wheel of internal justice in the police department.
And so that code automatically enforces. And how would John Shane describe that situation as a professor versus how he described it as a captain in the police department?
I mean, what he says as a professor is that the stress that arises out of that, you know, administrative nitpicking can be incredibly damaging. And the practices that can come out of that, you can see officers, you know, doing anything from using excessive force when it's not required, stopping people when they shouldn't be stopped. And he says even the stress can even lead to alcohol, drugs, and even suicide. So, you know, it's pretty extreme.
And is there a fix here? Does John Shane have a fix? And is this widely understood throughout the New Jersey Police Department?
I mean, I think one fix that he mentions is hiring the best people for the job instead of hiring, you know, like he mentions from within and looking to hire based on loyalty instead of ability.
And if this is the major issue, ability is clearly way down on the list.
Yeah, I think it's one of the issues. There are a lot of issues behind these lawsuits, but it's definitely one of the roots of the problem, the way police officers are hired and promoted. I mean, it's a slippery slope. He basically says, you know, in the problem departments, people are looking around and the sentiment is nobody really cares. Look at the people above me. What are they doing? If they're doing these things, no one's going to care that I'm doing them down here. And like he says, so goes the wheel of internal justice within the police department.
The opaque internal justice priorities within the police department in New Jersey causing all kinds of complications and actually contributing to executing justice on the street. Sally Herships is a reporter and contributor to Takeaway, co-producer WNYC. Sally, thanks so much.
Thank you.